Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Fun show so far. Appreciate Bart Winkler joining us as he does each and every Wednesday for some Winkler Wednesdays. In the last segment, we heard from Stephon Marbury an hour ago. I thought his analogy was very interesting, how the Patriots players trusted Bill Belichick for all those years. He thinks it's very similar to how the Knicks players are trusting Tom Thibodeau, and obviously it is paying off as the Knicks have taken a 3-2 series lead up against the Pacers. And Justin Termini, he joined us from SiriusXM NBA Radio in the first hour, and he said that in his lifetime, he's never seen a better offensive player in the NBA than Nikola Jokic, who was just ridiculous last night. And that series did go from 0-2 in favor of Minnesota to now 3-2 in favor of Denver is just absolutely bonkers. By the way, you want to know something that's crazy, Stu? So I always, when I'm on the air, right, to pull up stats and stuff, I have up ESPN. So on the top part of the ESPN page, the sports that they have right now, NFL, NHL, tennis, men's basketball, women's tennis, and MLB. I have to go to the more category to get the NBA. Is when you log on to ESPN, is that the same for you?
You're talking about like the black bar.
Yes. With,
so I have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, soccer, golf.
I wonder why.
That's weird.
I have to go into the more category for NBA. Let me see. Oh, I know why. I know why. Let's just say I have a friend that works for Disney. And I have his account logged into my computer. Because that means I get all the hockey games throughout the year. And I get anything that's on. Like he has an unrestricted account. So no blackouts. And I probably shouldn't be saying this on the radio. And also I get all the UFC fights too. And let's just say my friend is not an NBA fan. So maybe, he's not an NBA fan. So maybe because
he deleted it out of his.
No, you could eventually get it. But maybe because he's not a big NBA fan, his preferences, that kind of like throws an algorithm. But this is on my computer, but it's through his account. But this person doesn't like tennis. And this person's barely a baseball fan. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just the algorithm from this person's account. But anyway, I don't want to lose access to my account, so I'm going to just shut up right now. And we're going to get to some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Nuggets take a 3-2 series lead last night up against the Timberwolves. They have won three straight. We know Nikola Jokic, a three-time MVP, had 40 points, 13 assists, and 7 rebounds. Let's hear from Anthony Edwards of the Timberwolves. He was amazed by how good Nikola Jokic was.
I just laugh. That's all I can do. I mean, I can't be mad because he's good, man. I think I said that after game one when we won, and in game two, like, he's the MVP, he's the best player in the NBA. And he showed it the last three games in a row. Yeah, tonight, he was special tonight. I got to give him his flowers. It was, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what we were supposed to get. He was that guy tonight.
Yeah, I kind of respect it. I know some Timberwolves fans, maybe you want to hear, like, a better answer, but if you watch that game, like, what else can you say? That's the ultimate sign of respect, especially in the NBA when there's like a lot of excuses and people don't like to give other players flowers. And this is why Anthony Edwards is so likable. All you could do is basically just laugh and throw your hands up in the air and just say, okay, this is an all-time great player. There was nothing we could do tonight. The stunning part was just how bad Rudy Gobert was defensively in that game. And maybe it's not how bad Rudy Gobert was. It's just that's how great Nikola Jokic is. Where you have the defensive player of the year up against Nikola Jokic. And Rudy Gobert actually had a good offensive game last night. But there was nothing he could do defensively to just contain or slow down for a few minutes Nikola Jokic. Let's go to Draymond Green. He was on Inside the NBA last night. So I guess you had Shaq and Charles Barkley, they were at some event in New York, I guess trying to save the NBA on TNT because that deal looks like it's going to go to NBC and then the NBA on TNT is going to be no more. So last night you had Ernie, Kenny the Jet Smith, Vince Carter, and then Draymond Green. Here is Draymond Green on Inside the NBA last night ripping Rudy Gobert.
I got two things of why this series ain't coming back to Minnesota. Number one, the big Frenchman is sitting on that podium speaking his native language. We need to do this. You need to get a stop. It ain't we. Karl Anthony Towns is actually doing a pretty good job when he's on Joker. It's you, my man, that's getting cooked. So it's no we. Now, yes, you do need help from the other guys, but on some of those, help can't help you. Like, you just got to get a stop. So that's number one. Number two, when you're in these playoff series, for me, I'm always looking for the smallest ounce of weakness that I can find. And the way Karl Anthony Towns walked off that floor with the limp after he played the rest of that game totally fine and then he could barely walk, leaving the court, they don't believe anymore. And when you lose belief, this defending champions you're playing against, when you lose the belief, it's over. And they don't believe they can win anymore.
I hate to say Draymond is right. Also, he's not wrong in what he said about Rudy Gobert. But can we also acknowledge with a little bit of the past history that he's just dumping a little bit more salt in the wound of Rudy Gobert last night? But his analysis isn't wrong. I thought the back end, like the front end of that comment's what made headlines. I thought the back end stood out more to me. Because, Stu, we looked at that team up 2-0. What did we all rave about? It was the mentality of Anthony Edwards. It was the mentality of this team, even without Gobert, to go open up a can of whoop-ass against the Denver Nuggets. And now, you just heard from Anthony Edwards that we played for you earlier in this segment, they got no answers anymore. And they had their opportunity. They smelt blood. The body was basically in the casket, and you were ready to hammer that coffin shut. And not only has Denver found a way to get out of sports hospice, as I like to say. That heart is now beaten, lively, and it looks like their quest to go back-to-back and win championships in back-to-back years is right back on, and they are right back in the top dog spot. Let's go to Stan Van Gundy. You know, I thought Stan Van Gundy last night was so obnoxious. He kind of had a little Tony Romo syndrome, where I understand, trust me, I talk for a living. But when you're doing TV, you got to let the game breathe a little bit. Stan Van Gundy, I thought they were going to put an oxygen mask on him. He didn't let the game breathe at all last night. It was crazy. But then Stan Van Gundy basically had me liking him after I could not stand him because he was defending Tom Thibodeau last night. This was on the game NBA on TNT.
Everybody, every year, the best players play big minutes in the playoffs. For some reason, people want to jump on Tom Thibodeau. Look, the Dallas Mavericks are playing an injured Luka Doncic 41 minutes a night, Kyrie Irving 41 minutes a night, and they're at full health. The Knicks are missing three starters and another rotation player in Bogdanovich. This has been the most ridiculous talk of the playoffs. You saw the Knicks tonight. Does this look like a team that is worn out, that is finished, that has nothing else to give? Not even close.
He's 100% right, and it shows you how loud that building was last night as you start hearing those audible Knicks and Six chants when the microphone is literally right in front of the fat mouth of one Stan Van Gundy. But man, he's 1,000% spot on. You're like, it's crazy to me the narratives people come up with. I get it. There's a lot of NBA players that they want to rest, you know, 20, 25 games. And you actually have a coach that's demanding and holds his players accountable. And you need to do that to get the most out of this team that doesn't have the most talent. And then after game four, with all the injuries that they had and that this series was 2-2, people are like, oh, Tom Thibodeau isn't the right coach. Like, did you not watch his team this year? He absolutely is the right coach. He's the perfect coach for this team. And now they're up 3-2 and everyone's praising Tom Thibodeau today. So just remember that the next time you're ready to rip him, and I'm not saying you can't criticize him, right? Everyone's open to criticism. But this idea that his style and his coaching style has prevented this team from accomplishing, like, give me a break. Team's a 2-seed. Team's 1 win away from winning the Eastern Conference Finals. If I came down to you before the year started and said, hey, you know, Jeannie Gelb here, you know, on a carpet flying in, I'm going to tell you the future, and the Knicks are going to be in the second round of the playoffs. They're going to be the 2-seed, a moment away from the conference finals. You sign for that in a second. Absolutely. Here's Dante DiVincenzo, the big ragu. He ripped the Pacers for trying to be tough guys last night.
They're trying to be tough guys. That's not their identity. And there was nothing more to that. I just don't, you know, I don't agree with trying to, you know, walk up on somebody that you know wasn't fighting NBA. So take the foul, keep it moving. You're not a tough guy, just keep it moving.
I love that confidence. Pacers, you guys think you're those dudes. You ain't those dudes. Good stuff from Dante DiVincenzo. Here is Brian Windhorst. Donovan Mitchell not expected to play tonight for the Cavs. This could be his last game in a Cavs uniform, and already two teams are ready to make an offer via a trade for Donovan Mitchell. This was on Get Up on ESPN.
I'm trying to walk the line because I don't want anybody to freak out in my hometown of Cleveland, but there are a number of teams that have their offers ready.
Are the Lakers one of them?
They're ready, of course.
The Lakers?
Absolutely.
The Knicks?
I don't think... The Knicks are trying to win this Eastern Conference.
Understood.
Series, certainly across the river there in Brooklyn.
I'd be surprised if it's the Knicks. At this point, I know they were in on him a few years ago, and he wants to go there. Brooklyn definitely seems right. And the Lakers, obviously, they would love to go get him. Talking about the Lakers, LeBron James' son, Bronny James, he was asked on the possibility of playing with his dad on the Lakers.
Brian, what would it mean if you did end up like on the Lakers or wherever your dad ends up playing? What would that mean to you if you two ended up being on the same team? Obviously, it's been talked about for a long time.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's. I don't think I would just like when I get there. I don't think it would just like be like me and my dad. Like I would. You know, I would be happy about getting to the league instead of me thinking about playing with my dad, but that's like not my mindset right now at all. I'm just trying to put in the work and see where it takes me.
So not his intent right now. I don't think that's his main focus. Main focus is just get it drafted. Then all that speculation, depending on what team he goes to, will come down to and happen on if LeBron's going to join that team or not. I think LeBron stays in LA. Here is Sir Charles Barkley, who's on ESPN 1000 Chicago. If he's worried about the inside the NBA future with all these reports that the NBA is about to move off of TNT and go back to NBC for some of their packaging.
Am I concerned? 100%.
What can you tell us about the future of inside the NBA and what direction you think it's all headed?
We have zero idea what's going to happen. We might lose it. I feel so bad for the people I work with. I mean, it is brutal. I mean, it is flat out brutal. Everybody's scared to death. But this is the first time during the exclusive window we did not re-sign in advance. So I will tell you this, it's very stressful for the people I work with. And I wish I could give you an answer. We might lose it. I don't know. It's 50-50 that we lose our part to NBC. Am I concerned? 100%. Because as much as we have been partners with the NBA for, I think, 40 years, you would think if it was close in a bidding war, we would get the benefit of the doubt. But clearly, that's not happening. So to answer your question, they're scared to death over here right now. I feel so bad for the people I work with.
Yeah, I haven't followed it, like, the ins and outs that closely, but it seems like it's not 50-50. It seems like it's now unlikely that the NBA is going to be back on TNT for this next deal. That's just by the way that you hear Shaq and Charles talk about it, and then other speculation, and Bill Simmons as well. All right, let me get two more in here quickly. Tom Brady has regrets about the roast. This was on the Pivot podcast.
I loved when the jokes were about me. I thought they were so fun. I didn't like the way that it affected my kids. So it's the hardest part about, like, the bittersweet aspect of when you do something that you think is one way and then all of a sudden you realize I wouldn't do that again because of the way that affected actually the people that I care about the most in the world. So, like, it makes you in some ways a better parent going through it because, again, you don't – sometimes you're naive. You don't know.
It's a roast. I love Brady. But you didn't think – like, no one went after his kids in the roast, right? Like, did I miss something, Botcher?
One of the ladies that was doing the roast, I remember her name, she had a joke cut out about making out with her sons.
But did that air on the broadcast?
No, I don't think it was.
Okay, so that gets reported. Someone reads that, fine. I think that's more so the kids were upset because their mom was upset, right, Giselle? But you knew those jokes about Giselle with whatever happened with that jiu-jitsu master. Was going to come out anyway. So, like, it's a roast. But, young kids are going to react that way, and then it probably created issues for Brady. It seems like Giselle hated it, so now it's becoming a big deal for TB12. Finally, here is Caitlin Clark. Last night made a regular season debut. She had 4 fouls, 10 turnovers, and 20 points. Her team did lose to Connecticut, 92-71. Here is Caitlin Clark on her first impressions of the WNBA pro game.
Thought it was physical. I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't like the best start in the first half for myself. Getting into foul trouble, and then you got to sit on the bench and try to come back into the game and get into a little bit of a flow. But obviously, too many turnovers. That's not going to get the job done. But I think just a lot of things to learn from. I didn't think we played well, and we had cut it to 6 in the third quarter. So. I think that's a positive you look at. Like, we really did not play a good game, but we were right there at moments, and then it kind of got away from us at the end of the third and fourth quarter. Didn't have the greatest start, so I think just a lot to learn from. You know, it's the first one. There's going to be good ones. There's going to be bad ones. And, you know, like we said in the locker room, like, we play on Thursday. You got to learn from it and move on and be ready to go.
There you go. All righty, that's Caitlin Clark. That's a news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We preview the PGA Championship next with Alex Mott.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Infinity Sports Network. It is the Zach Gelb Show. You know, before each and every major, we have to talk to Alex Myers, senior writer for Golf Digest, who's kind enough to join us right now as we get set for the PGA Championship that gets underway tomorrow. Alex, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
You got it. I'm riding high after that Knicks win, so I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yeah, that was a tough, gritty performance by Jalen Brunson. And time to put some respect on Tom Thibodeau's name because it's just ridiculous after game 4 where this team has overachieved all throughout the year. And this coach has got so much out of them that people are ready to say, oh, this is why the Knicks are hurt. It's because of Thibodeau's coaching side. And it looked tired last night, Alex, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I'd like to see any other team take out 4 of their top 8 rotational players and see how they do. I mean, This is absolutely amazing that they're even making this competitive. And yeah, I think the Thibodeau stuff is overblown, of course. I mean, some of these injuries were fluke plays. I mean, Randall got like pulled down on a fast break. I mean, OG, I guess you could say the hammy was tired out or something, but most of these injuries are very flukish, so I don't buy into all that. I love Tibbs.
By the way, I did not have on my bingo card today, Alex Meyer starting us off with basketball, and Stefan Marbury, when he joined us earlier, starting us off with the Rangers and hockey. I would have never predicted those two things with the two great guests that we've had on and a bunch of others today. All right, let me start you off. Obviously, every golf conversation has to start with Tiger Woods. What's the feel around Tiger? What can we expect this week from Tiger Woods?
I got to say, this is about the least excited it seems that anyone has ever been for a Tiger Woods performance. It which is sad in a way. And, you know, someone asked me the other day if I thought he would make the cut or not. And I said, I don't think he's going to make the cut. I mean, I hate to say it. You know, this is, you know, of course he won here in 2000, but that's another lifetime ago. And at the Masters, he has all that course knowledge. And let's be honest, it's easier to make the cut at the Masters. It's a top 50 out of about 90 players, and you have amateurs and some older guys in there. So, and he has that course knowledge, and he had that motivation, the extra motivation to break that cut streak record at the Masters. He doesn't have that here at the PGA. I just don't know, you know, if he doesn't have a great start and isn't in contention, I just don't see, even as much of a fighter as we know Tiger is, I just don't see him having quite the same motivation there. And you know, this is a guy who's only finished a handful of events in the last couple of years. So the odds are he's, even if he makes the cut, he's not even going to finish the four rounds. So for all those reasons, I guess I'm kind of lumped me in with the group that it just doesn't seem like many people are talking about him this week.
You know, it's kind of crazy. It's not just Tiger. It's the entire event. You know, I've never gone into a major where we feel like no one even cares about this. You know, golf, I know, was humming during COVID. It was booming because of COVID, and it gave us something to watch, and a lot of people are playing. You walk into this PGA Championship, if I didn't do this for a living, I'd have no clue that it was even going on this week.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't get the rollout that you get for the Masters. I think overall the move to May for the PGA has been a positive because it is kind of enclosed within the other four. Whereas we all know it's the fourth major, but when it was the fourth on the calendar as well out in August, it was kind of on an island by itself. So at least now it's in the mix here. I do think they get a little extra buzz by, the winner of the Masters. You can always say, oh, so-and-so is going for the Grand Slam. And even though that person has no chance this year, that there actually might be a chance because Scottie Scheffler is so freaking good. So there's a little there. You got the Rory stuff and all the weird stuff going on with him. And you got Scottie with the baby. You do have arguably the three best players all coming off a win, which is kind of unprecedented because obviously Scottie missed last week because of the baby. Rory won. Scottie won a couple starts before that. And then Brooks Koepka plays on the LIV Tour and he won his last start. And he's the defending champ here. And Rory's the defending PGA champ. So in terms of heavyweights coming in with, you know, believing that they can win, it's about as good as you can get. But yeah, it's clearly the major that we kind of, you know, we forget about a little, unfortunately.
All right, so Alex Byers here with us. Let me start you off then out of the guys that you just mentioned with Rory McIlroy. For people that don't know, he won last week, like Alex said. Obviously, divorces don't happen overnight, so that must have been on his mind, and he was able to still win. But he, you know, it came out publicly that he filed for a divorce this week from his wife. Do you think that has a mental impact on such a mental game that we call golf as you go into the PGA Championship, where Rory hasn't won a major since, what, like 2014 or whatever it is?
Yeah, 2014 at Valhalla. So it's so weird because on the one hand, he's got all the momentum. He's got the history of Valhalla and, okay, I'm going to break this 10-year drought here. And then you have this divorce stuff come out. To your point, for sure, this has obviously been going on for a while. And all of a sudden, he's flipped the switch recently and played great. So part of me says, hey, this might be a weight off his shoulders and now he's freed up to play. That being said, you just never know how someone's going to react once it actually goes public. And once you see the headlines and, you know, you're beaten over the head with it and people start asking you questions about it. And, you know, it's a little different once it's in the public versus when it's in the private and you're controlling it and you know what's going on. So I think, you know, the jury's out there. We got to wait and see how he reacts to it. But I think overall there's a lot more pros to like Rory this week. I don't like the +700 number or whatever ridiculous number it is, but other than that, there's a lot more pros in his corner this week heading into this tournament.
All right, let's go to Brooks. We know for so many years, right, with Tiger, you walked into a tournament and who else is gonna urinate down their leg just by seeing Tiger Woods? Is there at all that effect for just this tournament, the PGA Championship, with Brooks Koepka, the fact that he's won the PGA Championship three times since 2018 and the most recent one last year? He won it and put his stamp like right back on the sport.
Yeah, I think there has to be for sure. And again, you know, we always say, we don't know how these guys are playing on the live. Well, we know how he's playing. He just won his last start. You know, he didn't have the Masters that he wanted, of course, but as a defending champ, as a three-time winner of this event, he's won this event when it's a shootout. Where was that? In St. Louis at Belrive. He's won it when it was not a shootout. It was a more grinded out affair at Bethpage. For whatever reason, he just loves the PGA setup. And it's usually a big, brawny course with thick rough, but he drives it obviously very long, but relatively straight compared to some of the longer hitters. And when he does go in the rough, obviously he has the strength to get out of it. And we all know he focuses the most on these weeks. So no, I think he's got an aura around him, at any of the majors, but certainly this week. And if he wins this week, a fourth PGA would match how many Tiger has won in his entire career, and it would be Brooks doing it in a 7-year span. So, yeah, I mean, it's historic stuff. I don't know how you couldn't look at him and at least, you know, be a little intimidated by him.
Let's get to the best golfer on the planet right now, Scottie Scheffler. So we know what happened, odds on favorite to win the Masters. He does that. Yeah. You talked about earlier, maybe he goes for the Grand Slam this year in that storyline. How many majors do you – he already has one. You got three more majors, including this week. How many more majors do you think he wins this calendar year?
I mean, it would kind of be stunning if he didn't win another one. Let's just say that. I don't think you could ever count on – more than two. I mean, two is anytime someone wins two in a season, it's
stupid.
Instantly a historic campaign, right? And I think last year it was incredible that he didn't win one. So it's almost like he's owed at least, another. Like, you know, you can't, if you looked at these 2 years, you'd be like, well, he had to win at least two. And so he didn't win one last year. So it's almost like he's got to win two this year. I'm not sure this is the best spot for him, but he still has to be, you know, considered the favorite. If you took away odds, took away everything else, the fact that he not only never has a bad week, he never has a bad day. It's just hard to imagine him not being in contention at least. And yeah, there's the whole baby thing and, oh, is he tired and sleep? I mean, come on, let's get out of here. That was last week. He's here. He's amped up. He's ready to go. He didn't play last week. That would have taken something out of him. So I think he's all systems go. And
and also the baby thing is ridiculous, because going into the Masters, everyone's like, oh, his wife could give birth and he may not be able to finish. And he won the tournament. He had that stress on his mind too.
Not only that, Zach, he wins the tournament and we're like, oh, well, he's got to get home to his wife. He gets home. He goes out to a dive bar and then he goes to Hilton Head and he wins there. Like, I mean, it's just incredible. Like, you know, he wasn't even like that into that tournament. He's still won. So like he's that good. It's just amazing.
Who was someone that was close at the Masters that now, as we go to the second major of the year, that you think they'll have another great performance and could potentially win this weekend?
I'm glad you asked. I really like Bryson DeChambeau this week. He showed us something at the Masters. He's been kind of under the radar since he went to live. Obviously he had all the injuries and then he went to live. And so you don't really hear or see him as much. He quietly was top five at the PGA last year. That didn't really get a lot of buzz. Whereas a few years ago when he was still on tour, he was probably the most talked about guy, but doing it at the Masters, I think, got him a little more on the radar here. The odds makers have given him some respect. I think he's in the 25-1 range, you know, just kind of below the big hitters. He is a big hitter, but the top favorites. I think this course, especially with all the rain it's gotten, how long it's going to play, it just feeds right into him. Where Augusta, I never liked him there. I know he made the par 67 comment years ago and he got burned by that. This was the first year he's played well since then. I've never liked him at Augusta. I think that place is in his head. This place is much more like a US Open setup, which obviously we saw him win at Wingfoot. We saw him contend the next year at the Open. I think this is a much better course for him. And I think he's quietly building momentum and kind of getting back to that superstar status that we saw a few years back.
So you like DeChambeau. Give me two or three other names that you really like that maybe you throw a few dollars on this week.
Yeah, my biggest bet, I don't know what it is, but Wyndham Clark is calling my name here. You know, if you look at Quail Hollow and Valhalla, you got Rory, who's won both places. You got Tiger, who's won both places. I think it's a very similar comp. At least the back nine of Valhalla is very similar to Quail Hollow. So Wyndham Clark began his streak, vaulting into star status at the Wells Fargo last year at Quail Hollow when he won. And we were like, oh, that's a nice story, whatever. And then he wins the US Open. Then he wins another signature event. He finished runner-up to Scottie Scheffler twice this year already in big-time events. All he seems to do is contend in big time events. He didn't at the Masters, but we all know he's a left to right player and the Masters favors a right to left. So I don't know if Augusta is for him. Now he's back at another one of these big courses. He can hit that cut. He's an incredible putter. He hits it a mile. I just think this guy, other than Scottie Scheffler, has proven his worth in the big events better than anybody in the past 12 months. And he's sitting there at 40-1 odds, Zach. It makes absolutely no sense. We love Xander. I love Xander. Xander Schauffele's 14-1. Wyndham Clark, major champion, is 40-1. It makes absolutely no sense. So he's my favorite bet of the week. As far as flyers go, Taylor Pendrith, I mean, this guy just won and then finished top five at Quail Hollow. He's a 200-1 shot. I don't get that one either. I mean, you know, again, betting him to win, maybe a little questionable, but certainly a top 20 type bet. And then Will Zalatoris, a guy we've talked about a bunch.
Yep.
Obviously, everybody expects a lot from him. He got off to a nice start to the year, runner-up Riviera. He has really struggled. But I think it's down now to the point where 75-1, I mean, this guy is just a masterclass ball striker, big hitter. At some point, he's going to break through, I think, again. I think the value is just too much to overlook at 75-1 for Will Zalatoris.
Last thing I'll ask you is to wrap it up with Alex Myers. It's crazy when you go through a conversation like this and someone's name just doesn't pop up. Where are we at with John Rahm?
You know, look, I said this was almost unprecedented with the top three guys all coming off wins. You know, Rahm hasn't won this year, but he is second on the LIV standing. So he's played quietly very well. He's top 10 in every event. I know it's a lot easier to top 10 against the limited field every week and everything else that's going on that tour. But, you know, he's played well. He's a fierce competitor. Let's remember, this is a guy who said his goal is to pass Tiger's record for 15 majors. And he said that once he was a few years into his career. It's not like he was off to some, you know, he's late 20s already. He thinks he's going to play for another 20 years and he's going to kind of rack up one major a year. He's that competitive. So I think he turns it around. I know the Masters was very disappointing for him. But, you know, he was hosting the dinner and he was defending champ and all that other stuff going on.
He looked like he wanted no part of that green jacket ceremony.
Agree. And that was his first chance to, you know, when he was thrown back in and he was upset with how he was treated and all this. Look, you could say what you want about the guy, whether he made a mistake or whether he regrets, whatever.
It looked like me doing yard work, honestly. Like, that's how he did.
Yeah,
it looked like
he looked miserable. Oh, yeah, you should see me. I think he'll be a little more comfortable this week, and I think we'll see him play better. I can't see him having kind of two dud majors in a row.
He is Alex Myers, senior writer for Golf Digest. Appreciate the time as always, Alex.
You got it. Go Knicks.
There we go. Big Knicks fan, Alex Myers. I also think he went to Wake Forest, too. So big Demon Deacon, too, a few years ago. I remember him talking a little bit about Wake Forest. All righty. We will take a break here. We'll come on back. When we do return on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, got to squeeze in a football point. Got two teams that I wish Kirk Cousins would have been on this year outside of the Falcons, because clearly it is not the Falcons after them drafted Michael Penix Jr. We'll get to that on the other side. Update time for a series, the Ackman.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Eddie in Atlanta says, Zach, do you think it was a mistake now looking back at the Falcons to sign Kirk Cousins? You could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get to Kirk Cousins on if he regrets coming to the Falcons with them drafting Michael Penix Jr. Then I'll give you my answer.
I think it's similar to the call that Mark D'Antonio made to me in 2000. That would have been 2007 when he said, "Hey, we're going to offer another quarterback. I know you've signed Nick Foles. You know, you guys are going to have to compete." And it's like, okay, you know, let's just take the next step. And then I was drafted right with Robert Griffin, and it's, hey, you know, you're going there with another quarterback in the same class. Okay. So this is more the norm than the exception. And I think the response is that this is the exception, when really, if you know my story, you know, this is more the norm of the journey, and it's more of a, okay, you know, let's just start working and start building together.
That's a lot of words where he's trying to make it say, yeah, no, I would still re-sign with them, and we all know the answers now. He left Minnesota because they told him they were going to draft his replacement. So he could tell me about his college days at Michigan State, or he could tell me even when, right, it was the reverse way, when, you know, at the time the Redskins drafted Robert Griffin III, and later in that draft, they took Kirk Cousins, and eventually Kirk took over the reins there in Washington. So you can tell me whatever you want. You would not have signed there if I told you the day that they signed you, or you're about to put the pen to paper, that in a few months they're going to draft Michael Penix Jr. 8th overall. You still signing that contract? You still signing $100 million guaranteed, or would you have tried to get that money somewhere else? Of course, he would have tried to get that money somewhere else. So I think it would have been better for everyone if we would have just known that Michael Penix Jr. would have been picked there, or they were considering it, instead of the story that they give that they fell in love, they eventually took him, and they already had Kirk Cousins there on the 4-year contract, $100 million guaranteed. So, no, I don't think the Falcons should have signed Kirk Cousins, even though I was a big proponent and advocate for it at the time, because a few months later, you're drafting his replacement. I'd rather just see Michael Penix Jr. play week one, quite frankly, because this isn't a developmental project. This is someone that's ready to go now. So then it asks the question and begs the question that needs to be asked, where else would Kirk have signed? And that's not an easy answer. So the first team that comes to mind, Stu, it's your Raiders. You guys are walking into this season with Davante Adams a year away from basically asking to be traded. You have some momentum with Antonio Pierce. I guess they tried to get a quarterback in the draft, but no one would have predicted that six quarterbacks would have gone in the first 12 picks. So maybe they were thinking at 12, like they tried to trade up. Obviously, Antonio Pierce wanted Daniels. He wanted him after their connection with Arizona State. But you were never going to get him because he was the second pick in the draft. So after that, you know, I guess they tried to move. Like, were they in on, I think they were trying in to get Drake May, right? Or they weren't going to draft McCarthy or Bo Nix.
I think they might have drafted Nix.
You think so?
I was worried about that.
They were what? The Raiders were 13, right?
They were 13, right behind the Broncos, who were 12.
You think they would have drafted Bo Nix at 13? Man, that would have been something.
Yeah, it would have been something, all right.
What would have happened if they were at 13 and they were between three people? Because remember the Raiders? They were down to Brock Bowers, Terrion Arnold, and they flipped the coin reportedly. And it landed on, I guess, tails, and it ended up going to Brock. What happens if there was three choices?
There's some kind of triangle that they could, like,
throw. Did we get, like, a dice?
Yeah, three-sided dice or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, just a Siri?
Pick a number between one and three.
Yeah. That's a good idea. But anyway, Kirk Cousins would have been a good option for the Raiders. It's not a long-term fix, but you could make the playoffs. I'm not saying they would have made the playoffs, but you could argue that you could be in the playoff mix with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, Davante Adams as your star wide receiver, and on defense, you got Christian Wilkins and Mad Max with Max Crosby. You could argue that. Now, here's what would have been the best destination. I would have loved for the Seahawks to find a way this past offseason to dump Geno Smith, which is complicated with the money, and sign Kirk Cousins. New coach coming in. You have three really good wide receivers, Metcalf, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Lockett. You put Kirk Cousins on that team, that's a 10-11 win team. That should be. That's a damn good team. Even in a loaded NFC and a loaded NFC West, that would have been a whole lot of fun. Really, I would have loved to have seen Kirk Cousins land with the Seattle Seahawks. I see my best friend, Largent Park, says the Falcons are ready now with Cousins. Hey, you talking about to win now? Yeah, they could go win a division. You know, maybe they're ready to move on now from Kirk Cousins. Like, the moment Kirk Cousins plays a bad game, Achilles, come back from the Achilles, you don't think those Atlanta fans aren't going to be clamoring to see Michael Penix, eighth overall pick in the draft quarterback. And this is not a spring chicken who needs development, right? And you got to wait. This guy's ready to go now. So I look at the Falcons. Like, I was high on the Falcons headed into the draft because I thought they were going to use that eighth pick to either get a stud defensive player or a wide receiver. And I looked at the Falcons and I said, you know, that could be a dark horse team. Dark horse. Let me emphasize it. Dark horse team to get to an NFC championship game. Easy division. You could win 10, 11 games. You know, you win. You know, I know it's asking Kirk Cousins to win two playoff games, but it wasn't out of the realm of possibilities for that team to be playing divisional round weekend with a chance to advance to the NFC championship game. But now it's just like, you don't know how that quarterback situation is going to play out. Where Kirk's the guy you would think for this year, but if he does not play at a great level, which is tough to do, come back from the Achilles injury, how long is the leash for Kirk Cousins in the ATL? So there's two teams that I thought of, the Raiders and then also the Seahawks, where I much rather would see Kirk Cousins play, and you get the best of both worlds. You also get to see Michael Penix Jr. play this year, and you don't have to prop up one to tear the other down. All righty, fun show today. A lot of hoops today. Big thanks to Justin Termini for stopping by, Stephon Marbury, Bart Winkler, and Alex Myers. Big thanks to Ryan Botcher, Stuart Kovacs, and each and every one of you. We will be back tomorrow. Final show of the week for me. I'm visiting some family, so I'm off to Florida on Thursday evening. So I'll do the show tomorrow, and then I'll get on a plane at 8:30, and hopefully the Rangers end up winning that big game six. I do not think there will be a YouTube stream, just for a reminder, on Friday. I got to see who's filling in, but I don't think there's a YouTube stream. But we will be back tomorrow on all the places you could consume us right at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. All righty, we out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
I'm at the nail salon. What? I'm at the grocery store. What? I'm at the combination nail salon and grocery store.
Wait, she's at the nail salon and the grocery store?
I'm at the combination nail salon and grocery store. Groceries through Instacart, delivered to my door. I don't have to choose between acrylics and the grocery store.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.